So I love the imagery in that story, because when you read the Bible, sometimes it's hard to imagine exactly what that might look like. And you watch this, and it's amazing. The one thing they left out is he said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And that's where that promise comes from. And that's, you find that in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. You know what's funny? Is what a lot of people don't realize is this is the second time that Jesus called Peter. Everybody thinks that to be a super Christian, you get called one time and you just take off like nitroglycerin right from then on. And woo, wow. Jesus called these guys once, and they actually went back to fishing. I can actually prove it. If you turn with me, let's point out a couple things scripturally before we get too carried away, because I never want your faith in some opinion of Pastor Mike. I want to make sure your faith is in the Bible. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Keep your finger there, and then I'm just going to read Luke 5 to you, and then we'll read Matthew 4 together. Luke chapter 5, which is the story we just watched. Luke 5, verse 1. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' When he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.'" Amen, Lord. Verse 11, "So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him." Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." Nothing about a boat, nothing about going out in the boat, nothing about catching a whole bunch of fish, nothing. These are two different situations. If you look it up in Mark chapter 1, it's the same story. "As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." First time through, they're just like on the shore fishing with nets. Jesus says, "Come follow me." They leave their nets and they go follow him. He has to go back and get them. Isn't that reassuring for us? Sometimes you're walking with the Lord and great things are going on and it seems like good stuff's happening, and then other stuff happens and time goes by and this and that and this and that, and pretty soon you're like, "I'm not quite sure what's going on anymore." This is that. And Jesus comes back and gets these guys, and this time he shows them something so great they'll never turn back around. And I want to say that when we're growing up, as you're aging, sometime in your life, for me, I grew up in West Michigan, so I heard people when I worked at Zondervan's and when I worked at Chicken Coop, they told me about Jesus, they told me about the Bible, and they told me about this, that, and the other stuff. I didn't want any part of it. But when I tell you, when I heard the gospel for the first time, when I heard it in my heart, you know what I mean? I heard it spirit to spirit, that God loved me. And that if I put my faith in Jesus and the payment that Jesus made for me, that by his grace I could be forgiven and be born again. And kapow, I had what Peter had. You automatically hit the deck. And you go, "Lord, forgive me. Oh my gosh. Now I've got a glimpse of who you are and how wonderful you are, how marvelous you are, how holy and majestic you are. Oh Lord, forgive me. Do you realize who I am? Right? Do you remember that? I remember that. And God says, I know who you are. That's why I called you. Come here. I want to forgive you of all that and give you a fresh start. Whew. I'm going to make you how to, I'm going to teach you how to fish for men with the very bait, the story that I fished you with. Oh, I can do this. So I just want to start out by saying, sometimes we got to hear it again for the first time. If Peter had to hear it again the first time for a second time, then I know I must need it sometimes too. Somehow these guys had lost focus, COVID, or got discouraged somehow, COVID, something, somehow, either way, these guys had lost focus and gone back home, and Jesus had to stop whatever he was doing and go back after them. Do you want more proof? We just read out of Luke chapter 5. That's what we watched. That's what we read. Have the whole scene at the boat, getting the fish. Do you know what happens in Luke chapter 4? Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. So there's no way this is the same story from a different angle. He walked by, called them from their nets, actually had a relationship with these guys, went to his house, ate, hung out, healed his mother-in-law, and these guys still lost focus. So it's not like, well, so they just only been baby Christians, or they must have only been shallow or immature. Baloney! These guys knew Jesus pretty well and still lost focus. It can happen to the best of us. But grace. Hallelujah. But grace. So today I want to talk about using different kinds of bait as we're fishers of men. And I had a whole different aspect of what I was going to share today, and I'm not sharing any of that. I was going to give you guys a brief history of some of the stuff I've used over the years to try to evangelize. I'm not doing that because it ain't about me. It's about God and about you guys. So that's what I want to talk about. The first stories that we just read are interesting because it says that these guys only left their nets. But do you notice once Peter understands who God really is and the difference between this holy, wonderful, majestic, awesome God and him, a sinner, he hits the deck. Doesn't have to be told to repent. Jesus didn't say repent. He didn't say that at all. He just hits the deck and repents. Because when you get the truth in you, that instant, I'm not talking about 10 years of theology. I'm talking about that instant of God's goodness. And you as a sinner, you hit the deck and repent. And it's a wonderful thing. Because you're like going, yeah, get off me. Oh, Lord, you set me free of all that? Ever reset? Hallelujah. Praise you, God. I'm going to serve you with all I got. That's what Peter experienced. And that's what we have to give people. We don't have to tell them they're filthy sinners and they ought to repent. We have to tell them how good God is. We have to tell them about this glorious gospel that changes everything. Whew, man. The glory of the gospel is the moment that we hear that gospel. When we get his awesomeness, we also automatically see, this is a deep theological term, our loser ability-ness. You instantly know how big of a loser you are. Now, I could use all these theological terms, but it's like instantly I knew, man, not just some of the stuff that people point out by me, but the greater he is, the more we are. But God, I can repent and get forgiven, all that stuff. And I can just step on out of it into a brand new day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the gospel. That's the bait that we use. It's not methodology. Methodology is I'll do whatever I have to do, whatever I can do, whatever I must do, whatever is needed so I get a chance to talk about the glory of this wonderful God. The glory of the story of the gospel is what has to happen. The method how we do that, whether we're going to do free car washes, I'm going to take somebody out to coffee, I'm going to go in my neighborhood or that neighborhood or my coworkers or potlucks or whatever I got to do to get me a chance to tell somebody about how good God is. That's what I'm going to do. Man, I love how Peter said, oh, Lord, you need to just get away from me. It's like the opposite that the Holy Spirit in us tells us to say. Lord, I need more of you. Our flesh says, oh, God, I don't want any of you. I'm horrible. I want to stay. The gospel, the good news is God takes us just like we are and sets us free of all that mess, all that loserability-ness, and gives us a fresh start. In that instant, when we all, and it's all the same for all of us, it might look different on the outside, but it's identical on the inside. In that instant, when we meet the living God and we know that grace is real, we receive his mercy, we are born again. Man, hallelujah. In that instant, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, Son of God, the lover of my soul, speaks to me and says, come on in. I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. Because in that instant, and this happened to all of us, in that instant, we know that we know that we know that we know that God loves us and we've been completely forgiven. That's the bait. That's what we're using. I can tell you about forgiveness because I've got it. I can tell you about the love of God because I've got it. I can tell you about a fresh start because I got it. It ain't some book I read. It isn't what my cousin told me. It isn't because the church when I grew up in. Let me just tell you about the love of God that changed my whole everything. Whew, man, oh man, oh man. And then once we get that, once we share that with people, once they get the love of God, you're off to the races now. Now you just got to try to keep up with them and train them and teach them and show them the love of God and how to share that with other people. It's awesome. So, how do we learn to fish? He's going to teach us how to fish. We're going to be fishers of men and women. He's totally equal in all this. So how do we do this? Well, I like catching fish. I don't know how many fisher people we have in here. I like catching fish. The problem is I don't catch many. And so I like catching fish. I don't really like soaking my line. If you talk to a true fisherman, he'll say, oh, I just like going out there and soaking my line. I'm not him. I go out there and I'm thinking, one cast, one fish. Nothing. Okay. Well, I'll go for 50%. Nothing. Okay, that's stupid lure. It's not it. Let me try a different lure. Wait, that's how it goes. That's the cycle. Another lure. Another try. So I'm one of these guys. Have you ever heard people say a bad day fishing is still better than a bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work? You ever heard that? I don't agree. A bad day of fishing is a bad day of fishing. When I go fishing, I shoot my best shot. Then I shoot my best second shot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until one of two things happens. Either I limit out or I get sick of it and I go home. I'll tell you a secret. I've never limited out. Ever. And you can ask my grandson. I've tried everything in Western Michigan. I've caught like 4 fish in my whole life. And some of those I caught twice. You guys heard that story. Man. Fishing for men can be similar. Sometimes you're doing all you know to do and you don't get a bite. And so you're tempted, just roll this thing up, throw it at the bottom of the boat, go back home and just to heck with it. I'm done fishing. I'm sick of fishing. I've gone fishing for 5 or 6 years. I've been fishing since I've been a Christian. I haven't led anybody to the Lord in a long time. I haven't caught nothing. Kind of sick of fishing. I just want to encourage us today that it's time to go back to the master fisherman, Jesus Christ himself, and ask for an idea. How do you do it, Lord? How do you want me to do it? Obviously, I've missed something. Again, back to I'm a disciple, therefore I catch fish. I'm a disciple, I catch men. If I'm not catching a man, then either Jesus lied or I'm not a disciple. Ooh, those are the only options? That's all I can find. If there's a different option, please tell me. Because that's what I'm holding myself to. Because I used to catch a lot of men, a lot of fish. I was a lot better at catching men than catching fish in a lake. I'll tell you that much. Wow. In the story that we just watched that I've been talking about, Peter fished all night. Peter was a professional. And he fished all night. Let me just tell you, if I fished all night and you caught me on the morning after when I have to clean up all this mess, it's basically salt water and dead bait and untangling knots and lines and putting the stuff, I'd have probably been frustrated and not really chatty. Have you thought about the mood Peter must have been in as he came on from getting blanked all night? And I'm just a rookie. This dude, he's professional. You know what this tells me? There's hope for me. Because if Peter went all night and got blanked, I've never done that. I've never fished all night and got blanked. I've done almost everything else. I've even gone, what do they call the guys when you hire a boat and you go out? Charter. I went charter fishing, hired a charter fisher in Lake Michigan and in Florida and still didn't catch anything. It's a gift. I don't think God wants me to get sidetracked and be a professional fisherman. So that's going to be pretty easy for me. So for me, let me just make sure we're clear on this. And yes, I want you to think, okay, this is how I've tried to talk to my loved ones, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers. I've tried all these things in the past. Didn't work. Listen to this. Getting blank fishing means I've tried every lure I own. And believe me, I have Amazon Prime. When I was really into this, I used to buy lure packages. And so they were really good prices, but at the end of the day, after a couple of years of spoiling, I won't say that word, boiling the snot out of my grandson, I now have cases of lures that are still brand new. They've never caught a fish. So that means trying every lure a few times, fishing in every direction a few times with all these different lures, all these different times. Don't forget, sometimes you have stuff on the surface. Sometimes it's underneath. Oh, let me try it over here. For sure over by those lilies. Watch this. I'm going to pull out a monster. Nope. Anybody tried evangelism and it didn't work? Anybody here at all? There's awesome. I think if we're honest, we all could raise up our hands. We've tried it all different levels, all different ways. We've tried this in the summer, tried that in the winter, tried this around the holidays, tried it with our rallies, tried it. Been there, done that, tried that lure, it didn't work. I broke the thing when I got home and threw it away. We got to go back to Jesus, say, Jesus, I need an idea how to catch fish. Because you said, I know I'm a disciple because I'm born again. My name's in your book. I know you personally. I have been bought by your blood, Lord Jesus. I'm a disciple. Therefore, I should be catching fish. Give me an idea how to do this, Lord. I need your help. If I didn't need your help, I'd already be doing it. Let's just be honest and transparent. I'm a disciple. I want to catch fish. I need an idea, Lord. I just want one idea to catch one fish. Let's just start there. We're not going to start some big fishing company, try to fill the boat, try to do what would you... let's just keep it simple. Lord, I want one idea to catch one fish. Would you please do that? And Lord, you're going to help me because chances are this idea is going to be something I tried in the past. So help me, Lord. If you tell me to do the same thing that I've done in the past that didn't work, would you help me to hear you clearly and just obey? Because sometimes we do the right things at the wrong time. Or we do the right things at the right time. And other people's hearts are wrong and they don't respond even though we did everything perfectly. And then we judge their response and fruitfulness to be something to be wrong with us. And that's totally wrong. We love the Lord. We're obeying Him and doing things for Him. Boom. Touchdown. And if we do that enough times, we're going to see fruitfulness. Man. Peter was a professional. He tried everything he could. Everything he ever did that worked, he tried all that stuff, and none of it worked that night. That's so amazing. It says they had toiled all night. That word toil in the Greek means to grow weary while diligently working hard. It doesn't mean to be drinking at the bar backslidden. Sometimes when we look at our track record and not a lot of things happen, we can just immediately go, well, there must be something wrong in me. I guess I wasn't working hard enough. I wasn't praying enough. Didn't read my Bible enough. I guess I need to forgive more people or be this or do that. Lord, I love you. I want to be used by you and I want to catch a fish. Peter had done everything, but this time, in a different season, Jesus says, well, what you have to do is invent the airplane so you can go to Africa and preach the God. What? Oh, he says you have to invent the internet, Peter, so that then worldwide, Mike, what are you talking about? Jesus tells Peter, a professional fisherman that got blanked that night, just cast your net out. And I like in that video, doesn't say this in the Bible, but in the video, it kind of looks like Peter looks at Jesus like, what's wrong with you? What are you thinking, man? I know what I'm doing. I've done it all night. Didn't work. Now you want me to do the same thing that didn't work? Hello? And so Peter looks at Jesus in this video, and then Jesus looks at Peter and goes, kind of like, do it. And so he does it, and we saw the video. Amazing things happen. So maybe some of us feel right now we're a little weary with no results. We've been toiling. Let me just remind you. Toiling is when you feel weary because you've been diligently working hard. Awesome. Good job. Well done. If you're tired, that means you've been working. If you're well rested, get to work. Peter had toiled. We have been toiling. Awesome. God sees it, and he's gonna do something here. I really believe it. So we might feel weary because of no results. I'm sure Peter did. Some of us might feel like we've done, tried everything, and nothing works. I know I felt like that sometimes. Some of us might feel like it's time to wash the nets and just quit fishing. You know what? I hear that there's a carpenter that just quit. He's like a traveling preacher now. Maybe we can get his carpenter shop real cheap. We'll start trying to make some furniture. I say it's time for us to ask the master fisherman to make us fishers of men. Lord, just give me one idea in how to reach one person. That I can do that. The idea you get might very well be something you're already very good at. Isn't that reassuring? Like I say, he didn't tell Peter to invent an airplane or the internet or go over here, go over that, do some crazy, wildly thing. He told Peter, who made money fishing, was good at fishing, and liked fishing, to go fishing. Yeah. What if God tells me to go to a football game to lead someone to the Lord? Or he could do it. How about if God wants me to lead someone at my grandson's football game to the Lord? That could happen pretty easy. That didn't take a ton of faith on mine. How about at one of his powerlifting meets, which, stupidly enough, is scheduled for next Sunday? That I don't want to mislead you in how I feel about them scheduling athletics on Sunday. Why not? Why can't God use that? I'm going to get there late. It'll almost be over by the time I get there. But why not lead someone, Lord, at an athletic event? I already like doing all that stuff. Sounds like something God could do. How about you? What do you like doing? What do you like doing around people? I think God's going to use that to use you to lead someone to the Lord. One person. One idea, one person. As I'm talking about this, what are some of the things that popped in your mind? That might be where God's going to use you at in this. I believe the idea that we're going to get is going to be something that we're already very good at. Jesus tells him to go fishing, but he tells him two specific things when he says to go fishing. He says, go out into the deep and let your nets down. That is pretty simple stuff. So even though it's going to be something that we want to do, we like doing, we like being part of, we still have to make the effort. Because Jesus could have said, well, just throw the nets out. Right where he's at, just throw the nets. He said, go out into the deep. Go somewhere where you think you can go fishing, where you'll be productive. Something you already like doing. Around people you like. That's awesome. But you're going to have to make an effort. Go out. There's an effort that has to be made. And then he says, let down. You know, to me, what let down means? He says, let down, extend your net. To me, it simply means we're going to have to extend ourselves. Because it's the easiest thing in the world to sit down to someone and you feel like the Holy Spirit's stirring. Why don't you ask them where they go to church? Why don't you ask them what kind of day they're having? Why don't you ask them, wow, they look like they could use some prayer. Can I just pray? Why don't you ask them something? It's the easiest thing in the world to sit down next to them and just go, I don't feel like it today. That makes me uncomfortable. God, if you really want someone to talk to them, would you please bring someone else to them? Amen. God bless you. It's the easiest thing in the world to do that. I've done it. And if I've done it, I'll bet most of you've done it. So somehow we got to go, God, I want one idea to catch one fish. And I'm going to make the effort to go over wherever it is you tell me to go. And then I'm also going to extend myself. I'm going to be vulnerable and just say, hey, how you doing? Why are you here today? Oh, really? Wow. And just start talking to them. Just ask some simple questions. For guys, pretend like you're in high school and you want to go out with a lady. Remember how you'd ask them questions that you really didn't care about the answers? You're just trying to get them talking? Or am I the only guy that did that too? Now I see some heads nodding. All right. Sometimes when you're talking to the lost, you have to ask them about stuff in their life that you really don't care about. But if you can get them talking about themselves, I'll guarantee you, you'll get the key to what God wants to talk to them about. And then all of a sudden, you're going to care like life and death. We got to go, and we got to let down. We got to invest. So let me bring this all to a close. What do we do with this message? Excuse me. Well, there's always a few questions we can ask ourselves. Anytime you hear one of my messages or anything on the radio, TV, you're reading, even when you read the Bible, just say, okay, Lord, what was Jesus saying to them? What's he saying to me, and how can I apply this to my life? When Jesus said this to the disciples, what do you think that meant to them? It's pretty simple. He wanted them to go and share the good news about Jesus to other people around them. Well, what's he saying to us? I still think it's pretty simple. He wants us to go out and tell the story of Jesus Christ to the people around us. So how do I apply this? This is what I'm asking all of us to do, including myself. Let's start asking God for one idea, for one fish, for one person, one man, woman, or child, so we can share the good news. We're going to have to go. We're going to have to extend ourselves to someone. That's going to take time and energy, maybe a little bit of money. But then we have to commit to talking about Jesus. Otherwise, we're just talking about social activities. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fishing for men and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because a lot of organizations out there will give you food, clothing, cars, pay your rent, pay your heat, do all that wonderful stuff. That's awesome. Praise God. God bless them. None of them will tell people about Jesus. If we're only going to duplicate them in doing good works, who's going to share the gospel? So one idea for one fish. When we get that idea, let's go do it. Let's put legs to this thing. Put ourselves in the place where we thought God wanted us to do, and then let's find a way to just say, you know what? I don't know about all that stuff. I can pray for you. Worst case scenario, they just dump on you with some crazy thing, and you're kind of like, whoa! You can always say, you know what? Some of that's out of my league, but one thing I do know is the love of God changed my everything. Can I just pray for you? Because when Jesus came into my life, he gave me hope. Just something as simple as that. Don't feel like you got to give him a 10-minute sermon about Jesus and the cross and justification. Just keep it simple. All I really know for sure is that when Jesus Christ came into my life, he filled me with hope. That'll change someone's life. If they're at all sensitive to God at that time, if that's a God moment, they will ask you a question, and it'll be a really easy, fun question to answer. You'll do it, you'll pray with them, and you'll change their eternity. One idea for one fish. Amen? All right, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today's message. I know that this one's from you because it's just stirred me in my spirit so much, Lord. I'm just excited to ask you for just one simple idea, for one simple person, so that I can share the wonderful gospel with them. Lord, I lift up all of us right now. In Jesus' name, all of us together, Lord, we're joining together, putting our faith in you. And Father, we're saying, would you please give us, each one of us, one idea so that we can use what we have, we can use what we're already doing, so that you can use us where we're already at to reach just one person for you. Would you please do that now, Lord? This is such a simple prayer, simple message, because Lord, it's so simple. When a person meets you spirit to spirit, when we meet you in our heart, when we meet you for real, not just hearing about you, but when we meet you, It's the most amazing nuclear explosion that ever happened anywhere in the whole galaxy. And you change our everything. So, Lord, we just want to share what you did with us for people around us. Lord, I bless your sons and daughters into your purposes and plans. Lord, all week as I've been praying about this and preparing, and even the last several weeks as I've been just being reminded of your promises and what you've promised me. Lord, I remember what you promised Angie shortly after she got here. You said that she was going to bring a bunch of kids, a bunch of teenagers, a bunch of youth into this church. She literally told me, be ready because I'm going to fill that church up with youth. And Lord, I know all kinds of stuff have happened to try to sidetrack that and dilute it. But Lord, I still believe that you put something on that woman's heart. You had her forewarn me and forewarn us now that something's about to happen in this place. We need to be ready to take care of a boatload of fish. And so Lord, we start today saying yes and amen to your plans and purposes. Lord, we're intentional about this. We intentionally say, you know what didn't work yesterday or didn't work last year or didn't work 10 years ago, Lord, we're just putting that off. We don't know why it didn't work, and it doesn't really matter. We're not there anymore. Today, Lord, we are disciples, and we are fishers of men. We believe you. We believe your promises. Lord, we say yes and amen. Would you please use us now to bring glory to your name and to rescue these people in this neighborhood? We ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Awesome. Well, God bless all of you. Stay safe, stay healthy. Trust Jesus and just pray. You know, sometimes when I really, really want to hear God for something, I won't even take my Bible, no sound, no phones, no nothing. I get to somewhere where nobody's going to reach me for like at least 10 or 15 minutes, and I just have an ink pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, and I just say, Lord, what do you want to talk to me about? What do you want to say? And then the first thoughts, first picture, whatever that first impression, I write that thing down. And I don't try to explain a bunch of that, just try to keep it simple. Just what was that purest statement or thought or image that God said to me after I asked him to speak to me? Just jot that thing down, and I'll guarantee you that's how he's talking to you most times. Amen? Because our God does speak to his people. Amen? God bless you, and have a great week.